The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Joining me is Dr. Jim Dennison. He is that clarion voice that we love to have on. He posts the daily article with Dr. Jim Dennison. And Jim, he's also, I guess you're up to volume 7 now on biblical insight to tough questions.
Well, thank you for that, my friend. We have a wonderful team. I write the content. They produce it. It actually appears in the mail, and I get my copy in the mail like everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful organization. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, and it's so wonderful to be able to have you posting on these important issues. We were going to be scheduled to talk about a couple of things, but today, as you're very much aware, the United States House of Representatives was scheduled to vote, and they have, in fact, voted on what's called the Equality Act. Dare I say, the Orwellian-named Equality Act. Since it's not really going to generate equality, what it is, or more freedom, it's going to actually limit freedom in a draconian way. Jim, I know that you've been working on this subject. What just happened, and what can we expect now that the House of Representatives have passed the Equality Act?
Yeah, terrific question and such a timely conversation. So the short answer to this is the Equality Act elevates what we would think of as LGBTQ rights, social, sexual orientation and gender discrimination, or SOGI rights, to a protected class status in the context of the 1964 civil rights legislation. Well, that's not itself all that surprising. With Bostock, with the Obergefell decisions, we've been trending that way for a while. Here's what makes this such a big deal. It explicitly prohibits any appeal to the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act. What that means in practical terms is, if you're in a faith-based hospital, with the Equality Act passes the Senate and is signed by the President, you could be forced to do gender transition surgeries against your religious beliefs. If you're an adoption service, you could be forced to adopt children to same-sex couples. If you're a church, you could be forced to conduct same-sex weddings. It completely, in fact, it's considered the greatest threat to religious liberty in the United States history.
Now,
because it completely disbands any appeal to religious freedom.
See, and this is so chilling, because as I've been thinking about this, it seems to also deny parental rights in the name of a sexualized political ideology. Is it possible that 8-year-old, 9-year-old, or a child who identifies to a teacher and says, I'm identifying as the opposite sex and can be put into a system of gender reassignment, does this actually threaten parental rights?
It absolutely does. All across the board, that's one of the things that will be adjudicated if this passes as it is right now. But that's certainly an issue of discussion. 85% to 90% of teenagers that exhibits what's called gender dysphoria, where they're not certain about their gender versus their sex, come to their inherited sex. However, if at an earlier age they are pushed into a category, they have questions, so all at once they are labeled as transgender or as gender dysphoric, then at that point you're thinking about biological transition, you're thinking about surgeries, you're thinking about hormone treatments, and it's been documented that the suicide rate for people that go through this is much higher than those that have gender dysphoria who do not go through those sort of forced transitions. And one of the adjudicated issues is going to be the degree to which parental rights are even considered in this conversation.
You know, we were talking a little bit off the air, and I mentioned that Jack Phillips is coming out with his book. He obviously won at the Supreme Court level on refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual couple. Photographers, bakers, florists, what will this bill do for those men and women who opt out for religious conviction? Does this mean religious conviction as a category no longer exists in America?
Relative to LGBTQ issues, that's exactly what it means. It expressly, explicitly prohibits what Jack Phillips did. He would have lost his case under the Equality Act as it currently stands. That's exactly precisely the case.
Because the Supreme Court would have to make a ruling based on law.
That's right. That's precisely true. The way to look at this, that kind of makes some sense of it out of this, we're wondering, why would people do this? Why would people be such an assault on religious liberty, a lot of whom claim to be practicing Christians? Well, for those people on the other side of this, they see my position, your position on LGBTQ, the way we would see someone who was a racist. If a KKK member was wanting to appeal to religious liberty to cover their bigotry for burning crosses in somebody's front yard, we'd obviously say that ought not to be allowed. If a Christian scientist wanted to use religious freedom to keep their children from getting medical practice, or if a Jehovah's Witness wanted to use the religious freedom to keep from a blood transfusion for a patient, we would say that ought not be allowed. That's how they see our appeal to religious freedom in the context of LGBTQ issues. They intend expressly to remove it for that reason.
Yeah, and I get that. I actually really do get that. I read Carl Truman's book, and he gives us the sort of philosophical and ideological framework in order to process this information. But yet, Jim, I can't help but think something has happened. So we have crossed a Rubicon, so to speak, a threshold where the world, from an ideological standpoint, from a worldview standpoint, is substantially different. One of the things, now help me understand this, and please tell me I'm wrong. Does this legislation also allow males to enter girls' locker rooms, males participate in sports? And is it literally written in such a way to silence everyone who disagrees with this ruling or with this law?
I would love to tell you you're wrong, but you're right.
Oh, no, I don't want to be right about this.
A full spectrum of what is considered to be civil rights relative to transgender individuals. So that's sports, that's biological women having to compete against biological men for scholarships. You're talking about locker rooms. You're talking about children's showers. You're talking about the documented abuses of biological males claiming to be women and then moving into single-sex shelters, let's say, and they're required by law to be allowed to do that. That's absolutely part of this. In fact, one of the pushbacks to the Equality Act is from a group of individuals who call themselves radical feminists who are saying this is absolutely an attack on women's rights, irrespective of religious freedoms, for the very reason you just documented.
Now, as we go through this litany of challenges, does this also mean that faith-based foster and adoption agencies are at real risk?
It absolutely does. If you're in a foster or in a adoption service and you have a religious ideology that is in some way not aligned with LGBTQ activism, then you're very much at risk. If Equality Act passes, it is now, gets to adjudication, becomes the law of the land, then you would simply not be allowed to so-called discriminate against same-sex couples or any other LGBTQ individuals in the context of adoption, regardless of your faith-based beliefs upon which your organization was founded. That's absolutely true.
My guest is Dr. Jim Dennison. You can watch him, hear him, see him, read him at the Dennison Forum. And, of course, he's come out with Biblical Insight to Tough Questions, Volume 7. There's so many resources. And, Jim, I understand that you've written an article on this very subject that we're talking about, the Equality Act issues. Is this going to be available for public consumption in the not-too-distant future?
It will. I have some various pieces of this. I put the white paper together today, and it'll be on the website by Monday.
My guest, Dr. Jim Dennison from the Dennison Forum. We're talking a little bit more about the Equality Act. It just passed today.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.